All right, so we are in our second message in the Wait For It sermon series. And last week we talked about why wait, you know, how God uses waiting to develop our character and to develop stuff within us. Well, this week I attended a Catalyst meeting at the district offices, and one of the things that they were talking about is shalom. And I really felt inspired to share a message on shalom. And we're going to wait for, the thing we're waiting for is God's fullness. And I'll explain. So maybe, recently having been through Thanksgiving, you can relate to fullness. Anybody overeat on Thanksgiving? It's like one of you have license to eat an enormous amount of food for whatever reason, and calories don't count for a day. But it's not really what I'm going to be speaking about today. It's because on Thanksgiving, it's more like stuffed or I need to take a nap. But instead, I'm referring to fullness, to God's shalom, the fullness of Christ. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, O Lord, for your fullness that is offered to us through Christ. And that, God, in this season where we celebrate the peace that came into the world, God, we seek your shalom, the fullness of God. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So one of the names of Jesus that we'll hear throughout the Christmas season and even throughout the year is that he is the Prince of Peace. We hear it often during the Christmas season. The Christmas story tells us that he is Emmanuel, God with us. But even before then, he was prophesied by Isaiah. And we'll hear this scripture cited often in the Christmas season, Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen. Prince of Peace. The original language for Prince of Peace is Sar Shalom. Around the world, the term shalom is commonly referred to as peace. If I were to say shalom to you, maybe in your experience in the Christian faith, you say, well, that just means peace. But there's so much more to it than that. According to Strong's Concordance, shalom means completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, the absence of agitation or discord. Shalom comes from the root verb shalom, meaning to be complete, perfect, and full. In modern Hebrew, the related word shelem means to pay for, and shulam means to be fully paid. You can see that to greet or part company with the word shalom is so much more than just a hello or goodbye. It's a prayer over that person that they would experience the fullness of God in their lives. So I'd like to share some scriptures for you that speak to God's fullness in Christ to maybe help better grasp the concept. So there's three words I want you to hold on to and repeat after me. Inherit, inhabit, included. I couldn't come up with an INH for the third one, so sorry. So inherit, inhabit, included. And the first one's inherit. The first scripture is Galatians 4:4. And it says this, but when the fullness of time had come, the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. So this aspect of fullness is waiting on God's perfect timing. Who here would like God to hurry up sometimes, right? God has a perfect schedule in place, and oftentimes it seems like it's in conflict with ours. But we are to wait on God's perfect timing. In the fullness of time, it says that God gave his son. Now remember what we shared last week when we were talking about wait for it. The difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is 400 years. This was a very long wait, amen? But it had to be the right time. It had to be the right place. God's perfect timing. And there sure was waiting involved. But what do we now experience because of that wait? Because of waiting on God's perfect timing, we receive redemption. And we are now heirs through adoption. So Paul extends this metaphor of the law as guardian of spiritual minors. And those are those without Christ, right? Those under the law. It reminded me of like a guardian ad litem. You know, in a court case, we have somebody that represents the interests of the minors before they can speak for themselves. In this way, Paul is saying the law is what is overseeing those that were spiritually immature, whose moral immaturity postpones the receipt of their rightful inheritance and thus relegates them to the practical status of slave. Now that, and according to Galatians, is a different way of looking at things. We wouldn't necessarily say those that were in our household, our minors, are our slaves, right? I know Tom would say, I don't know about that. But that's how they understood it, is just being almost like a servant in the household until they receive their inheritance. But for us, it's more waiting until they come to a spiritual maturity. Like the date set by a father for his heir's coming of age, so it was with the fullness of time, when through the redemption from the law effected by Christ, God made possible our adoption as mature heirs. You're a mature heir now. Some of us more mature than others. A mature heir, qualified to receive the covenantal promises through faith. And so this guardian of the law, has been removed because of what Christ has done. Now I'm going to read something. This is a commentary, Matthew's commentary, and it's a little cerebral, so bear with me a little bit, and I'll try to go through it. He says this: he who was truly God for our sakes became man, and he who was Lord of all consented to come into a state of subjection, right, to empty himself, to become like a servant, and to take upon him the form of a servant. And the one great end of all this was to redeem those that were under the law. That is what we received, to save us from that intolerable yoke and to appoint gospel ordinances more rational and easy, right? Christ says to take on my yoke. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Beforehand, before Christ, the law was a huge burden. It was too much for people to bear. It was the law and, you know, the teachers of the law had added so much that it was impossible to be right before God. And then he goes on to say he had indeed something more and greater in his view in coming into the world than merely to deliver us from the bondage of the ceremonial law. For he came in our nature and consented to suffer and die for us, that hereby he might redeem us from the wrath of God and from the curse of the moral law, which is sinners we all lay under, right? The gift that we have, the fullness that came in Christ, the fullness of time, is what we receive as heirs according to the promise. This is our inheritance in God's timing, in the fullness of time. God's fullness, that shalom that we seek, includes our inheritance, our salvation, our redemption. All right, so we have an inheritance that's part of our fullness in Christ. We also are inhabited by the Holy Spirit, right? The second one is Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I love that passage because it is we who are named by God, right? Our Father in heaven, that's the name that we bear. You know, sometimes our familial names are a struggle for us, and yet we have one name that is above all, that familial relationship. In verse 16, it goes on to say that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So anybody take geometry? Anybody like geometry? Actually, I really liked geometry. I like shapes. Math to me was always one of those things where if I could see it and it made sense, I liked it. As soon as it reached like the realm of calculus, never made sense to me, seemed like a bunch of crazy stuff. But geometry makes sense. It's something I can look at. I can measure it, right? It makes sense. So in the same way, we have this image that he gives us about the height and the depth and the fullness of Christ's love for us. It's like an image that we can see, a 3D image that can be filled with the love of God. In this passage, Paul lists the many facets of Christ's love for us that surpasses our knowledge. The love of Christ is so much that it goes beyond how we can even understand or comprehend. And so Paul has to use this understanding of breadth and height and depth so that we can look at it and understand that it's so big and so great that we can't possibly comprehend the depth of it. This love provides that which is the feeling of being full. When we are struggling and we are feeling empty and lonely and struggling, it is that emptiness that we're experiencing because of what Christ has to fill in us. The fullness of God comes when we receive that love and understand that no matter what we've done, no matter what we've experienced, no matter what we may have done to separate us from God, but it never separates us from the love of Christ. Amen? That fullness is always available to us. Emotionally and spiritually full. The fullness of God. Here is the love of Christ. And again, it is his perfection. Just like the fullness in time, that perfection in his timing, he has perfect love. And it is a love that inhabits us as believers. When we call on his name and we say that we choose to follow you, we are filled with his Holy Spirit. And in so doing, that fullness comes, that love of Christ comes to inhabit and dwell within us. May we be filled in this season with the fullness of God that is his love so that we can extend that to others. And so we have inheritance in Christ. We are inhabited by his love. And the third one is that we are included. We are included. There is not one that is left out. Number three, Colossians 1, 18 through 20 says this. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself some things, all things. You know, these are the promises of God. I hope when you hear these scriptures that you are encouraged, because sometimes, and I think too often, we think we are outside, that we've gone too far, that somehow we have removed ourselves from the reach of God, and that's just not the case. Through Christ, he reconciles to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. It's the blood of Christ that draws us in, that makes us included. It wasn't just for some people, but for all. No matter where you come from, where you were born, how old you are, no matter what you've done, that the promises of God are for you, that fullness of God. It says in the scripture that the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Full divinity was Christ. And because of that, Christ is sufficient for our salvation. So it's not Christ and what we can accomplish. Christ and our resume. Christ and our family. Christ and where we've come from. Christ and whatever we give on Sunday, right? Our salvation is sufficient in Christ. It is that we are included in God's amazing plan of salvation, reconciling all things to himself, reconciling all people to himself, right? That means you and it means me. The fullness of God through Christ is what makes salvation available to us. So again, from this commentary, he says this, all fullness dwells in him. And it pleased the Father that it should do so, not only a fullness of abundance for himself, but redundance for us. Now, I had to kind of grapple with that a little bit. Like, what does that mean, a redundance for us? And so I ended up looking up, what is the word redundant? Like, if you, the Department of Redundancy Department? is something that repeats and honestly is probably not needed, right? We don't really bring anything into the salvation equation, right? The abundance of God is sufficient and redundant for us, right? It's available to us, but we are not bringing anything except for ourselves into this equation. It's not like we can throw something into the pot that makes salvation different. It is abundant in Christ. A fullness of merit and righteousness, of strength and grace. As the head, right? Christ is the head of the church. As the head is the seat and source of the animal spirit, so is Christ of all graces to his people. It pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell in him, and we may have free resort to him for all that grace for which we have occasion. The fullness of God dwells in Christ, and that fullness of grace is available to us, right? As we have occasion, meaning as we keep coming to God and coming to God in our prayers and beseeching him and seeking him, that the abundance continues to flow. It never dries up. It's always available when we have occasion to come. In our prayers this morning into the throne room of grace, that we have occasion to come, and there's always an abundance, more than we can think or imagine, right? It's an abundance. He goes on to say, he not only intercedes for it, but is the trustee in whose hands it is lodged to dispense to us. As we come to Christ in our prayers and our needs, it is that dispensation. He is handing things out to us, right? Blessings. Of his fullness we receive, and grace for grace, grace in us answering to that grace which is in him. And he fills all in all. That fullness of Christ is all that we need. So in this busy time, this busy Christmas time, I don't know about you, but Tom has said, we seek peace, this shalom, the fullness of God. Oftentimes we are spending an awful lot of time trying to create something and craft something that meets a need that might be within us, and it only comes through Christ. That fullness, the shalom that we are seeking, that fullness, that rest, that perfection of not trying to constantly go after something is only available in Christ. We're trying to find the right gift. We're trying to find the right tree, the right decoration, the right cookie recipe. Could be anything. There's so much that is on our docket. But is it not time to experience the fullness of God first? The completeness that we have in Christ. I was just reminded of that crazy little animal in Ice Age. Not the squirrel, but that works too, right? Constantly. The sloth. You complete me. Isn't that what he says? You complete me. Christ is the completion of who we were created to be. And it's only through Christ that we are complete. That one was for free. Sorry, that just came like a squirrel thought into my brain. Through the bustle and hustle of searching and trying to find and make things work that we can simply receive, the fullness of God, the shalom of God, the peace of God by waiting on God. And again, this is like when we were talking about last week, just to wait on the Lord. You know, we are oftentimes busy creating and busy working and busy doing, and there's lists to check off and things to accomplish. And I would venture to guess that your list of things to do, including mine, does not say, wait on God. And yet, it is on the waiting that we receive that fullness, the satisfaction of knowing Christ's presence with us. So there's three things we need to remember based on those three words. To remember that we are heirs, because in the fullness of time, we have come of age, so to speak, through Christ, to receive that full inheritance that we receive through him. The second thing is to remember that we are inhabited. We're inhabited by the fullness of Christ, and that habitation is holy And it is the love of Christ that is so full that we have bucket loads to share. Remember, we talked about that we have a cup that overflows, right? Surely goodness and mercy. But we talked about Psalm 23, my cup overflows. And as we are inhabited with God's love and his grace and his mercy, we need to be resting in him and experiencing that fullness so that we're not empty. There is an awful lot of people that so desperately need to have the love and the peace of Christ, and it is in that overflow that we're able to reach people with the love of Christ. And lastly, to remember that we are included, that this great, big, wonderful plan that God has enacted in the beginning of time, God's plan, since the beginning of time, do you ever grapple with that? That God's plan began before the creation of the world, and that plan includes you. Right? The earth, the stars, birds, animals, and you. It's a great, big, beautiful plan that God has put in place. To receive that and understand and rest in that, that you are part of that you are included in that through Christ. And that there are those that are included in that plan that so desperately need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is only one way to find shalom. We are immersed in a culture that is seeking to find peace, to find fulfillment in things that are just not what God had ordained and not what God had planned. But the one way to find true shalom is Jesus. And he tells us in the Gospel of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We are seekers, but the truth is the answer is in our hands. And in that case, there is no time to wait. We wait on the fullness of God, but there is an emergency when it comes to those that don't have Christ. You know, just even meeting with Sherry last night and her family, she has a burden for her family. There's an emergency that there are those that do not know Christ. And so there's no time to wait when it comes to that, right? Today is a day of salvation. And so in this time, I wanted to close in prayer, and I would like us to pray together. First, I wanted to ask a few things. Is there anybody in here that's seeking peace, that needs more peace in their lives? Is there anyone in here that's seeking to understand the love of the Father, to really understand and comprehend the fullness of that love for you? Is there anyone in here that might be seeking that fullness of Christ that only he can give, that we have tried to create substitutes that can never satisfy? And those that are seeking the fullness of Christ, how about those that might be seeking to begin a relationship and experience the fullness of God as never have before? And so I wanted to close in prayer today and have you pray together, because this is going to cover everybody. And we will pray as a body and repeat. So if you're willing to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you today asking Jesus to come into my heart, to heal the broken places, to make me new. I surrender the former things. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your hope. Fill me with your peace. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. May I experience the shalom of God in all its fullness, in all its beauty, and may I share it with others. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, thank you. May God be with you. May he make his face to shine upon you. And may he give you his peace.